I handed out a paper. If you didn't get one, I do have one for you today. Yep.
Okay. Anyone else?
Who? Oh, I'm sorry. Anyone? What is this?
A little staff game? Ping pong passer?
This is what Brother Edwin would do. There you go. All right, Smiley.
One time, Brother, I have to tell this real quick. One time, Brother Edwin was saying, calling out a song, and there was a fellow right there, a staff member, and he made a mistake and started singing the wrong verse, you know, because he looked down, which was just, he had gotten distracted by something. And the fella there had a big smile because he thought it was so funny. And Brother Edwin said, "You want to sing it, Smiley?" I just thought that was so great. Just, you know, you could get away with that in a meeting. "You want to sing that, Smiley?" he didn't want to. And I'll tell you who that was. He wouldn't mind. It was Jimmy Immordino. Some of you know him. Because he's got the brightest smile, that fellow. Anyway, today we're looking at confessing our sins. I want to relate to you very quickly a time when I worked in Hammett's Learning Center, and I worked in the storeroom. And I was a Christian, I was saved, but my unsaved friend got me the job there. And I don't know if you're familiar with Hammett's Learning Center, but they have all kinds of neat teacher supplies. And one of the things in the back room that I enjoyed was this this pointer that you could, like a telescope, extend. They were neat. We used to be in the back warehouse sword fighting with them, you know. And they had some other things that we would utilize in ways they were never meant to be. But what I did was I stole some. I did. I pocketed them, and I knew better. But they were. I just thought, well, there's a whole bunch of them. They hardly know the inventory. It doesn't really matter. There were some other funny kind of erasers and things. I took a few of these things and I took them home just to show, you know, some of my friends in church. This is what we do. This is what I do. In work, we had sword fights with these things. Aren't they cool? You want one? Just being honest. Years later, as the Holy Spirit moved in my life, I knew I had to do something about it. And the manager, I can't recall his name now, but I had to do some research. I got a hold of where the manager, because that store had closed down, and I got a hold about where he was, and I wrote him a letter. I confessed that I stole these items as much as I could remember. Not that I stole a lot, but I couldn't remember everything. And I put what I felt would cover, the amount of money that would cover those items, and I mailed it to him. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in us, you know? And I was ashamed. I wanted to meet him face to face and tell him, but I couldn't get there. But that's the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Because if I could make something right, I should. Brother Tom's not here, but Brother Tom told me a story when I lived with him that was amazing. He had kept all the books from high school. You know this story?
Well, I was thinking of a different one.
Yeah. Well, I know the other one. With the that he broke into the construction site thing, I won't tell that. But you know, Brother Tom, he got those books and he went back to his high school years later and returned them. Works of the Holy Spirit in us. These are the works of the Holy Spirit. Today we're going to talk about some of these things. Do you have a hard time, as our group discussion thing? Do you have a hard time admitting when you are wrong? The opposite of that is, do you confess to too much of things you're not even responsible for? We're not going to take time. I think if we went around, we would find out that there are some who said, yeah, it's really hard for me to say I'm sorry. And there would be those who somebody trips over that chair and, I'm sorry. And we're the opposite, right? It is true. My wife is that way. She's, you know, something, she hears something in the kitchen, sorry! She's not even there. Feels responsible for everything. Then there are people who, you know, they could bump, knock you down and wait for your apology. Isn't it so?
Yeah.
Right? We're all different. We're all programmed in a different way. This is why we need the Holy Spirit. Think about a time when you tried to hide sin or wrong. How did you feel? Let me ask you. Would anybody be brave enough? How did you feel? Did you ever try to hide something? You kept it to yourself, like what we had in Psalm 32. Do you have ears to hear? Because sometimes in our walk down the narrow way, we have a slight limp, but we don't understand why. And God, in His graciousness, says, enough limping, there's a reason for it. There's a little seed that was planted years ago, and God wants to get it out. Because the enemy will say it's insignificant. It's so insignificant. But how many times we who've maybe been on the way a little longer find out that when the Holy Spirit puts His finger on something that the enemy calls insignificant, it blooms into significance, and He's able to fill us. So thank you for sharing that with us. We're going to read now from 1 John 1, verse 5, and then we're going to go right into the second chapter, verse 2. So I'm going to read, follow along with me, 1 John, the epistle of 1 John, and this is what we read in verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank the Lord. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Chapter 2, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank God for that. Some pretty weird ideas are floating around about how we should deal with sin and failure in our lives, and it's out there, and how we should receive God's forgiveness. And some of those ideas were around even in the early church, so John had to address them. He had to get us on the right track. The first question we have here is, what do you envision about God when you read, God is light, in Him there is no darkness at all? Pertaining to verse 5, what do you envision when you read that? That God is light, in Him is no darkness at all. Anyone? Yes, John.
Just seems like a word picture type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Of like the sun.
Yeah.
When the sun's out, I mean, there's shadows technically, but I mean, like, but you look around the sun, it's just completely bright.
Exactly. Yeah.
Nothing compares.
Yeah. No darkness, right, Abby?
We have an image that we used to teach the children where it's a pitch black cave and it's dark until you have a light.
Yeah.
It's like the light chases away the darkness.
The light chases away.
There is no darkness when there is light.
Good. These are good. Absolutely. You know, he is light. Very good. How about this? Everything's revealed. Everything's revealed in light, right? to go along with what you brought out. Everything is revealed. There's no falsehood. There's no sin. He is light. Why do you think the message that God is light is such an important message for Christians to hear? I mean, just think about it. Why is that so important that we realize just what you brought out, the word pictures, the sun, and no darkness. Why is that so important to us? John's communicating this. Why is that important for us Christians to get? Yes, Brother Phil.
It shows us what type of life we're supposed to live.
Absolutely.
If when the light comes in, the darkness flees, then if we're hunting for the darkness and we go back to the same sins, then the light has to go away.
That's it.
And Jesus wants us to remain in the light.
Absolutely. You can't hide anything from the light, right? And John is saying, He is the light. He's going to reveal it. That's the nature of light, to chase away the darkness, to reveal. And so, saints, we need to realize there's no hiding from God. He's the light in our lives. And look at question two. What does it mean then to walk in the light? Referring to verse 7. What does it mean to walk in the light? Abby? We're cleansed from our sins. Good. Good. Anyone else? Yes. We're walking with Him. He's the light. Dan?
Nothing in you is hidden.
Whoa. Well, now you're meddling. Yeah. Nothing's hidden. He knows all. Yes?
Yeah, so about that aspect of truth, you know. Mm-hmm. The lightness, the transparency, without shadows, as being true and transparent. For example, Romans 12:9 says, "Let love be without dissimulation." Yeah. And of course, you've met people who are sugared and syrupy and insincere when they speak to you, and you can tell that their love is nothing but a gloss. It's just thin. They're hiding something.
Right. Right.
And he says, "Well, now." Let your love be without dissimulation.
Yeah.
Well, so now we know about His love. His love isn't pretended. He's not playing games with us. When he gives us His Son, that's how He really feels about us.
Yeah. Yes. Very good. Yes. It's what you see is what it is.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes. Did you have your hand raised? Oh no. Okay. Be careful. So true. I thought. That was Romans 9?
12:9.
I thought of what we read in Ephesians 5:8-9, and that for you were once darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. You know, that transition happens. It's no longer the phony love and what you have to, it's the real love to go with Romans. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. I also think that goes with it, like that if you're walking in that light, then everything's revealed and truth is revealed, and that's how it ought to be with us. Let's go on to question three. What mistaken view about lifestyle and about relationship with God does John expose in 1 John 1:6? Take a look at verse 6. Explain in your own words. He says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So what's the mistaken view if we're doing that? Yes. It can't happen. But yet that's the mistaken view, because we think sometimes that it can. Very good. Yes?
I'm not going to say, you know, going through the motions and stuff. You can be going through the motions and saying that you go to church and you're in fellowship with God, but you're really not. You're really just going through the motions.
Right.
Sunday.
What's that?
I just said Sunday morning Christians. Like
Sunday.
Show up on Sunday morning,
now she's judging. No. But it's so true. Look, How many times have I've heard older folks, but young people particularly saying, you know, I don't want to play, I'm not interested in anything but the real thing. Real thing. Well, you know, this is the real thing. Get in the light. And we can't play both sides of the fence, right? And he brings that out here. In other words, let me, just for time's sake, folks, things got to be different. That's what it comes down to, right? I mean, brothers and sisters, we want the real thing, and things have to be different. My language is going to change if I'm in the light. My thoughts are going to change if I'm in the light. My habits and my attitude, my faith and my values, they're going to change. They're going to be different. You know, I'm going to peel off the tag that says Christian, and I'm going to quit coming underneath what Abby brought out, just that, you know, I'm a Christian, I go to church, and I'm going to be what I ought to be. I often say, you know what happened to me growing up in church? And for some of you who are growing up in church, woe unto thee, King James Version, woe unto thee. I'll tell you why. Because I began in Christ, but then I was taught so much, I learned to become a Christian. You know, I learned how to be, well, this is what I'm supposed to do. I don't go here, I do this. I'm nice to old ladies. You know what I'm saying? You give up your chair. And I learned, I could go on and on with the do's and the don'ts. And you know, when I got into my teens, I realized something. I learned to become a Christian and I wasn't abiding in the vine. Jesus never said, learn to become a Christian. He said, abide in the vine. And guess what? You'll be a Christian. And things will change as the Spirit flows through that vine into us. You're going to find, I can't talk like that anymore. I can't react to that person anymore. You don't know what's happening in you. Last night, you're going to say, I don't know what's wrong with me, but I don't feel like clobbering the pot boy anymore. Praise the Lord. Who's the pot boy? Oh. You didn't know you had a target on you, did you? No, you don't. Things change, but we have to move on. Look at question 4. If we walk in the light, why do we need to rely on the blood of Jesus to purify us from all sin? Verse 7. Yes.
Because we need
instruction from God. Yeah, that is the truth. That is the truth. We need that precious cleansing blood on the narrow way. And that was so good what she said, that instruction that comes with it. You know what I thought of too to go with that? Becky, right? That's what I to go with that, what Jesus said in John 13:10, he said to his disciples, he said, you know, you are clean. You're washed and you're clean, but you need to wash your feet. Why? We're walking in a dirty world. So even though you're in the light, and you're walking with the Lord, we're walking in a dirty world. And so we need the cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. 5, if we are purified from all sin, how should we respond to feelings of guilt? Good question, I think. Yes?
Shouldn't we just do what Dan says and just listen? Pay attention to the feelings of guilt. Don't just dismiss them.
Very good. Very good, Josh. If you're feeling guilty, you've got to examine that and say, why am I feeling guilty? But here's the thing. Guilt, if remains guilt, is condemnation. We need to do something about guilt. You know, this is the problem in Christianity too, is that I'm tired of feeling guilty. I ask God to forgive me. I'm tired of feeling guilty. I'm sorry, and the next day I do it again. I'm tired. One fellow said, I live a life on the narrow way of guilt. You know why? He's not doing anything about the guilt. Guilt is condemnation. Over here, this is what the Holy Ghost does. Turns that guilt into conviction. Conviction is great. Conviction is good. Conviction is from the Holy Spirit. You know what conviction means? That my spiritual spinal cord is alive and well and kicking. You know? That's what that means. Don't ever be afraid of conviction. Fear guilt, because guilt will just keep you there in one spot feeling miserable about your life, thinking Jesus doesn't want anything to do with you. Conviction is, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Because I have a sensitivity to darkness. I have a sensitivity to the things that can harm me. I got to tell you, you know, years ago, there was a show called Twilight Zone. I don't recommend it. I'm not recommending it. So stop judging me. Because I don't watch it anymore. But I remember years ago, as a youngster watching it, there was one episode where this guy was a hypochondriac. You know what that is? Everything's wrong with him. Everything's wrong. So he couldn't, you know, he's worried he's got this, he's got that, and he's got this. And finally, Satan shows up. And Satan says, how would you like not to feel another thing in your whole life? And he says, that sounds awful good. He says, all you have to do, and you know, all you do is sign the contract. And so he signs the contract, and the hypochondriac, now he doesn't feel anything. He feels great. He said, this is great. He goes over to the stove. Imagine smoke coming up. Nothing happening, though. He's fine. He goes into the kitchen. He gets some ammonia, and he chug-a-lugs that. And his wife is like, what are you doing here? But he's fine. He's doing all these things. He doesn't feel a thing. He finally says to his wife, he says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going up to the roof and throw myself off. Because he's tried everything else. So he's running up to the roof. His wife is like, no, stop. And she tries to stop him, but she misses, and she falls off and falls to her death. And he's like, he doesn't feel too bad about that either. But that's not unusual in this world, but at that time, it was. He should have felt bad. She should have felt bad. But, I mean, out in the world, that, unfortunately. So he's like, he's like, oh, no. Then he gets an idea. I'll call the cops. And I'll tell them that I did it, and we'll give the electric chair a try. So he calls the cops in the car, and then he goes to, he's there, he is in court, and he's like, this is going to be interesting. And you know, what does he get? Life in prison. So he's sitting in cell for like 100 years. And Satan shows up and goes, you really want this? This is where the story falls apart. So instead, he says, I can't stand sitting in the cell. He said, well, I could shorten your contract. And so the writer's really good because he shortens the contract and he goes to hell. I mean, we know he goes to hell. But my point of my telling you that is sometimes what we want is to be numb to darkness. We want to be numb and insensitive to sin. But, you know, if you've invited in the Holy Spirit, it's not going to happen. You're going to feel everything. You're going to feel when you use the wrong word. You're going to feel it when you've looked at the wrong things on the internet, or you spoke to somebody harshly, or you gave a piece of your mind. You're going to feel a sense of the Holy Spirit in you. That's alive and kicking in you. It's Jesus in you, and you know you can't get away with it. You've got to go, and you've got to say, I'm sorry, forgive me. You know, is that happening in you? Do you feel that in you? Because that's life. And yes, it's abundant life. In this world, in this decadent dark world, you're light. You're light. And you know, you're going to expose darkness. It's going to happen. And that's painful sometimes. Painful too that I have to keep moving on, but we do. So folks, remember that. If you feel sensitive to the Holy Spirit and you're convicted, fall on your knees and thank you, Lord Jesus. Every time I get convicted, you know, I don't let the enemy push me into guilt. I said, there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. What I'm feeling is Jesus in my heart. That's what I'm feeling. I feel Christ. I'm living from the inside out, you know? And God's making a difference in my life. Look at 6, and I'm going to let you go, guys. But aren't we having a good time in the Word? Amen?
Amen?
Yeah. Thank you, John. 6 is, how do some people deceive themselves according to 1 John? Take a look at it, 8. And you could include 9. Real quick, yes. What?
Because they think they're perfect and they can't sin. So, well, God's forgiven me. It's okay. I And because it's false, it's going to be okay.
Okay, absolutely. And that's a deception? Yes.
I was going to say they deny that they have sin at all, so they just go about with their lives.
They deny to have any sin at all. Yes.
When I was younger, I used to be like, oh, yeah, I know I'm imperfect, but it's really all not that bad. Mm-hmm. And that's a way you can fool yourself by thinking it's like no big deal, but...
Yes, and that's a deception. I thought I saw another hand. Did I or no? No. Yes, John.
Kind of like what he was saying. It's like you talk to most unsafe people. They're like, "Well, I've never killed anybody, so I don't see what the problem is." You know,
exactly.
I'm not one of those people.
Yeah.
Those people in prison, go witness to them. You know.
Yes.
They don't see.
Yes, a valid point. Very good. But then, when we find the Holy Spirit, we discover what sin is, and we discover the cure, right? And it's abundant life. Very good. But how about what it says in Jeremiah 31:33? You know, they deceive themselves because something wonderful that God prophesied in Jeremiah has not happened in their hearts. And what does he prophesy in Jeremiah 31:33? It's worth taking a minute to read, because this is exciting to me, because it's came true. "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." And he goes on to say that their sins would be forgiven and pardoned, right? That's the new covenant. That's God's going to write his laws on our hearts. Why does John later write that he wants Christians not to sin in verse 2:1? Kind of because they had gotten the idea that they could, right? And that was a deception. And God's grace is not a covering for our sin. It's an avenue for forgiveness and for victory, for us to be changed. Look at 7. "The word confess means to say the same thing. We confess sin when we say the same thing about our sin that God says about it. Using that insight, how would you direct a younger Christian to confess a sin to God?" Yes.
Say you're wrong. You've been wrong. You're sorry.
Yeah, absolutely. Just say, I was wrong, right? You know what helps? It's easy. It's so easy. And I'm going to say amen because I'm holding you too long. Folks, but let's think about this. I have no problem going to God and confessing. I have, because God will never tell you. You know? I've been a Christian now for 56 years, and God has never told on me. So I go to the high priest. Hebrews talks about we have this high priest. And so it's easy to confess to God. But if I injure you, that's a little rough. You know? But what does the Holy Spirit say in James? It's easy to say you love God, but when it comes to a brother, that's a little different, right? So I want to just drive, before we say amen, I'm thankful for the work of the Holy Spirit, because not only does it give me a greater relationship with God and a heart that's always willing to say, here I am, because I know God is light. I know God is light, and he'll expose everything. I can't hide anything from him, but I can hide things from you. I can hide things from the body of Christ. You know? I could be talking to you, Johnny, and thinking, why'd you bless him with such good hair, God?
For time and for season.
Oh. Let's pray for Johnny.
No,
don't listen to him. God works in different ways. Don't listen. You know? He earned it. He earned that.
Yeah.
No. All right, we got to say amen. Look, folks, before we go, working of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, be filled continually. But you know, that river that comes from heaven, that flows in and through me, you know, the fruit of the Spirit was never meant to just bless me. The fruit was meant to bless the body of Christ. It was meant to bless you, and we're to bless each other. Think of the fruit of the Spirit. We're not going to list them today, but think of that. Read that list. That's not for my nourishment. That's fruit. It's for the body of Christ. So by the Holy Ghost, I have to find the strength not to hide anything from you, but to be honest and say to you, if I've injured you, I'm sorry. I confess that. I'm not saying this is easy. I'm not saying I have arrived, but I'm saying that I know that through the truth of the Holy Spirit, body of Christ, we need this more than ever. And then our prayers that Jesus will come and meet us will be magnified in a greater way because we're obeying the word. Let's stand and we'll sing this last one. Abby, if you close your book, it's 4:45. I apologize for keeping you later. That lamp was blocking Brother Wanamaker. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to make us true to Jesus through and through and to each other for his name's sake. Let's sing that last one.
Well of water ever springs.
Spirit, thank you for the pouring out of your love. Change us, make us what we ought to be, body, soul, and spirit. We trust you to do that, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.